It's safe to say a new wave of social movements has taken the country by storm. From Black Lives Matter to the Women's March to this year's March for Our Lives, Americans are taking to the streets to speak out on issues that matter to them. There's one movement in particular that takes pride in being a bit nerdy. The group is March for Science Atlanta. It's going to bring together scientists, data geeks, and average citizens to just push for policies that support and reflect research. They are gathering for a rally this weekend. Louis Kiefen is the march's executive director, and we're also joined by its executive vice president, Allison Halterman. Welcome to you both.
Hi, good to be here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So you're characterizing this event as a rally as opposed to a March for Science, which happened last year. How's this different?
So while marching creates really good visibility around an issue and is energizing for the community, we saw a lot of energy last year and excitement. We really want to focus on how we can get people information and tools to carry advocacy forward on these issues. We want our attendees to have things to take away and continue their actions throughout the year. And we think a rally with some exciting speakers and some great organizations joining us is the right way to do that.
What has changed in the world in the last year, in the year since you did the first march? And how will that change be reflected in how you approach what you do this time?
So this year, of course, we've got the same mission as last year. That's advocating well-funded and publicly available science. And we think it's important to the well-being of people in Georgia and the health of our economy. But today, we've got a much more clear path forward for March for Science. We're a lot more deliberate in how we're approaching things. And we're looking forward to what comes next. Last year, we marched. This year, we rally. And we've been cultivating relationships with science groups, AAAS, Science for the People, Atlanta Science Festival, Atlanta Science Tavern. And we're really excited about how this will bring the community together.
One thing that the March for Science movement has been criticized for is the idea that it's politicizing science. It's embroiling science, which should be pure and empirical and impartial, in a culture war, in a tribal conflict. What do either of you make of that criticism?
So March for Science is a nonpartisan movement. Our tagline is all related to science avoiding politics, but politics can't avoid science. And what that means is science itself should be nonpartisan, and the government should not use political beliefs to dictate funding for science. Research should be for the public good and not for a public agenda. And effective policy must rely on sound scientific research and data. We don't have a left agenda. We do not have a right-leaning agenda. We have an agenda for accuracy in the use of science, the responsible use of science and data and policy.
Right. And basically, we don't trust our leaders to lead us when they've got blinders on. We don't think they can make the best decisions when they don't have all the facts.
We're talking about the upcoming Rally for Science in Atlanta, part of the March for Science movement. It's going to be on Saturday. What's your end goal? Is there an end game here? What would you consider victory for this movement?
So we've got a handful of goals. We're trying to advance the use of evidence in policymaking, empower meaningful engagement between science and society. We're trying to foster diversity, inclusivity in all areas of science and science policy. And we're trying to build a global community of science advocates. So if we can achieve those, then we'd be really great.
Indeed. Let's talk to one of the folks who is going to be speaking at your rally, just to get a taste of the substance of what will be discussed. Let's bring in Linda DeGutis. She's an adjunct professor at Emory University School of Public Health. She's going to give the keynote speech at Saturday's Rally for Science in Atlanta. Linda, what's the short version of your talk?
I'm going to talk a little bit about the data and about the history of research in gun violence, and actually the lack of research that we've been able to do because there's been really minimal funding and limits on federal funding for gun violence research. And we really need the research, we need the science in order to find out what can work to help keep people safe, given that we do have guns in our environment. What are the kinds of things we can do so that people who should not have guns don't have them, so that children are not unintentionally killed with guns, that a child doesn't pick up a loaded gun that's sitting on a table or next to a bedside, so that women who are involved in relationships where there is abuse and there's violence in the relationship are not at high risk of being killed with a gun when they end the relationship or during some argument or fight in the relationship itself. So there are a number of things that we could actually be looking at and doing if we had the funding to support the science.
There has been some political debate about whether the federal government can or should be funding gun violence research at all at an institution like the CDC in Atlanta. What's the status of that?
While there is now in the new appropriations bill, a statement, not so much in the bill, but in the conference report that says that CDC should resume its work in gun violence, there was no additional funding in order to do that. And when we think about this as a public health issue, because of the number of deaths that occur every year, and by the way, 62% or so of the deaths are suicide, not homicide, which is not commonly recognized, I think, by a lot of people, there is no money really directed towards doing this research. So there's not money that goes to the CDC. There's not money that goes to the NIH to fund research. And it's really looking at, is there any money to fund people who are capable of doing the research? And this is not just at CDC and NIH, but really people in academic settings and in other places where they have the expertise and understand some of the issues related to gun violence and have already done some research, but could really do a lot more and help us learn what could be effective in decreasing the gun violence.
Getting back to what we were just talking about with Lewis and Allison, who are organizing the Rally for Science in Atlanta on Saturday, where you're going to be giving the keynote, the question of politicization. I can imagine that there would be people out there who would hear about the research that you're advocating for, Linda, and say, this is research that is inherently problematizing or pathologizing a tool, which is a firearm, right? Mm-hmm. And that the bigger problem is just violence, regardless of the weapon. What's the argument for studying gun violence in particular?
Well, I think if we think about this, it's that number one, when being injured or shot, you know, with a gun, has a much higher risk of lethality, for example, than maybe being stabbed with a knife, and it's not as easy to take a knife and stab 10 or 15 or 20 people in a single event and to create the same kind of damage that you would create with a gun. You don't have to necessarily be right next to somebody in order to injure them or kill them with a gun. You can be at a distance from them. It is not so much to say get rid of the guns. It's really more about how do we make people safe? How do we prevent some of the people who are at high risk of causing injuries and deaths using a gun from having access to them. You know, so how do we keep the perpetrator in a domestic violence situation from having a gun that he or she might use on a partner or ex-partner and perhaps other people who are in the the area that that partner is in? So it's really focusing a lot of ways in the way we did with motor vehicles and the way we continue to do it. We have cars. We know that people get killed in car crashes. We know that people are injured as they cross the street. They might be killed. But we've done a lot with both the environment and with vehicles to make them safer, to make people safer, so that they have a lower risk of being killed or injured by a car. We didn't take cars away. We just sort of changed some of the nature of the vehicles, the interior of the vehicle, the exterior of the vehicle, occupant protection. So there's many ways that we could be looking in a similar fashion at guns and gun violence.
We go back to Lewis and Allison, organizers of this Rally for Science happening in Atlanta on Saturday. You described the March for Science, the broader March for Science organization, as a nonpartisan organization. Can an organization be truly nonpartisan if there are obvious partisan implications, if you have one party that is rejecting science, another party embracing science?
So I think we need to recognize that science itself is just a process for gaining knowledge, no more, no less. It may tell us that guns are less safe or that humans are changing the environment, but doesn't address the moral issues. It doesn't weigh our constitutional rights versus safety. It doesn't tell us what the value of a human life is. But if we have people in Congress that are saying that they're trying to address an issue and they're ignoring the science, then they're just being disingenuous. And I think that's incredibly unfair to the people that they represent.
That's Lewis Kaifen. He's executive director of March for Science Atlanta. We also heard from Allison Halterman, the Atlanta March's executive vice president, and also from Linda DeGutis, who's going to give the keynote speech at this Saturday's March for Science rally in Atlanta. She's an adjunct professor at Emory University's School of Public Health. Thank you all very much.